All right, folks, welcome to today's Mountain West Wire football podcast. Matt, clearly it's the offseason, coaching news, many podcasts we've done recently for MWWire.com. So we've been busy, man.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's not the off season yet. We still have bowl games up. Only 8 games left, so it's pretty close to the off season now.
Fine, it's not the offseason, but we got big news, coaching news. We've had other shows with Josh Redlund doing some CSU stuff, Jay Norvell leaving to go to the Rams from Nevada. We'll have all sorts of stuff, but now we discussed this briefly a little bit. Hawaii football is, well, it's a mess. And we're bringing on Mark Luke. He did some great stuff for SF Gate. Follow him on Twitter at, how do we say this? And Mod Luke? Mad Luke? Is that
Madaluki,
correct?
Madaluki. Yep,
I'm reading, like, wait, like,
it's all
there's
good.
a D. Where's the D, Matt?
It's
Mark?
my initials. It's not my attitude, but yes, it's Madaluki.
No, that's good. That's great, but no, thanks for hopping on, man. This will be you wrote if no if nobody's wrote it, I know we've retweeted that you send this to us. I'm pretty sure most people listening to this particular podcast and Mountain West and Hawaii has a decent national following about who does what because hey, it's the 2 a.m. Eastern time. It's 4 a.m. We're watching football here on the East Coast, West Coast. It's only 1 a.m. We're good. Stuff like that, and people know who Hawaii is and what they've done. They're a pretty good program for the most part, but I had nothing to look at. Or I'm trying. What am I saying here? Todd Gurley apparently is a jerk. We'll just start there in the simplest terms. I'm trying to think. What's the best way to discuss this? I guess to backtrack. If nobody listened to us before, a couple weeks ago or recently, owner writer Scott wrote the kind of recap of the Twitter Spaces by players. Were you? Let's start there. Were you listening to that? Like, is that where you first got wind of kind of the stuff that's going on for your article, or
Yeah,
how did about
so
this?
this really kind of came about in a weird way because, and it really came together quite quickly because, I think for those of you who at this point I'm sure have looked at my background to try to vet me and whatnot for this reporting and
Yeah, where
whatnot,
the heck are you, man? Come
yeah,
on,
exactly, right? Like
you
I'm.
DM'd, you direct messaged us out of the blue. Do we know
Yeah, and I'm
who
a
you are?
freelance sports journalist, right? And I mainly cover like professional sports in the Bay Area, like I'm on that, San Francisco Giants, 49ers, and Golden State Warriors beat usually. But I'm born and raised in Hawaii. And so and I'm born and raised on the islands. And so for obvious reasons, I've always followed the program fairly closely, kept my eye on it. I've never been a super huge college football fan or college sports fan in general, but obviously, when you're passionate for sports and you're on the islands, that's what you're going to interact with most. And I have a lot of friends who are even more passionate about it, and so I talk to them from time to time. And I, keeping tabs on it from a distance, when Graham got hired and how things have gone his first 2 seasons, it looks like, since with the exception of the Chow years, right? And you could take sort of the high end of the late June Jones and the low end of Chow's years here. Like Hawaii's been a pretty mid-tier Group of Five program, pretty solid, consistently solid Mountain West program with, some super highs, obviously with Colt Brennan in the Sugar Bowl and some lows with Chow and whatnot. But
Yeah, back in the WAC, yeah. Chow did BYU all the time, scored 70 points a game early in their BCS season back in I don't remember what year it was, 98 or something. It's
Yeah,
crazy.
absolutely. And it wasn't something that was too hot on my radar, but I noticed it seemed like a weirdly high amount of dudes were entering the transfer portal. And so I'd already started reaching out to people, getting a sense, trying to see, is there something going on behind the scenes? And I was hearing murmurs, hearing rumors that things weren't great, nothing too concrete. And then on back-to-back days, I think at this point, this was last week, is right, starting running back Dede Hunter, and then the next day, starting quarterback Shevin Cordero entered the transfer portal. And Cordero is an even bigger deal because he's a local product, right? He's from St. Louis School, born and raised in the islands, as far as I know, pretty much connected, was our early commit to UH. And again, it wasn't like there was, obviously he'd been hurt, so Braden Schrager, the backup, had played, but it didn't seem like a situation where he was being forced out because they were trying to replace him or they had an obvious replacement they wanted. A
No,
switch
they had
one
he
to make.
had, yeah, he got hurt for a couple of games. And they brought down the freshman for a little bit, and that's all it was. He came back in and got his job back.
Right.
Nothing to see here, essentially.
Exactly. And so when I saw the Cordero news, I go, okay, we might like, I was like, okay, we're going to start putting the full court press on here and looking into this, reaching out to people a bit more substantially. And then within 2 hours, I see on my Twitter feed, Hawaii football team in the spaces, and I hop into that and I start listening. And it was wild and frankly unprecedented and not like anything I've seen in college sports. Like, college sports is not something where you have – people tied to the program, especially recent players and especially not current players, who will talk about a situation. And, you know, I feel weird about getting too detailed into it. And if you read the article on SFGate, there's a reason that I give context on the Twitter space, but I don't get into it because I think there were some weird things about it. It was created by alumni, and I think some players understood it was a public forum, other players didn't. And so, I don't want to get too in detail with that. And frankly, you know, my reporting, that was to me a spark for people being willing to talk to me. It was not something where, you know, again, there's one quote from the Twitter space in the article that was one that was circulated on local media. And so that's why we were comfortable using it, although we didn't use the player's name while other local media attributed it to him. But so from that point, it was reaching out to people. And as someone who has primarily covered the pro sports base, but also covered college sports, and I focused on like baseball prospects and stuff, so I'm dealing with amateur athletes quite a bit, or players on the borders of amateurs and pro athletics quite substantially. And I was shocked at the amount of response I got. Just, you know, most of the time, especially as a reporter who, you know, I'm not on the University of Hawaii beat, I'm not someone who these players have interacted with or seen significantly, and the level to which, you know, people wanted to talk just told me, wow, like there were already serious red flags. And, you know, this was a story I felt like I needed to try to tell. And so, began talking to players. Again, I think 8 different players are quoted in the article, the majority of whom did not speak at the Twitter space. I think that's important clarification to add, because I think there's a lot of, maybe not a lot, but I've seen some assumptions. Well, this is just straight from the Twitter space. The majority of the players who I spoke to did not speak at the Twitter space. I don't want to give away too much because obviously I don't want to risk players being known, but I can say the majority of players I spoke to have not entered the transfer portal either. You know, we already know there's a lot of players from UH who are transferring. We already know there were a lot of UH players who, whether or not they intended to, made some level of discontent known. And I spoke with many players who have not used either of those forums. And what they talked about is, you know, incredibly concerning, right? Like, one player I spoke with said that these things have crossed the line to be verbal abuse, the way head coach Todd Graham has talked to players, just talking about demeaning approaches to players, name calling, and doing so in without context of football, accusations of favoritism, but not in the way I think we think of it, in not a favoritism in, oh, this player gets playing time and stuff like that. You know, obviously there were a few players who had complaints about that, but what I mean when I'm talking about favoritism, I talk about in the article, again, I recommend going to SFGate and reading it, is players who felt like the coaching staff didn't care about them. Like, a player who quit the team because he was walking back into the locker room after practice and Todd Graham happens to be next to him and they have a small talk interaction. And he's like, this guy barely knows my name. Why am I waking up at 5 a.m.?
Like, let me ask you about this real quick. Yeah. You mentioned, because this is quite interesting for what I do for work and stuff like this, like because local media, there's only a couple of guys that are really out there, like, you know, Steven Sy, some other guys. I know RJ Hollis is out there doing what he's doing, but like, was it this bad that, because you mentioned you don't cover college athletics, typically, or at least Hawaii football.
Yeah, this is not my beat, right? Like, this is not the thing I'm on.
But my what I'm getting at, like, no, I'm not saying anything about what you've done. Like, it's great stuff. What did they tell you why their willingness was to talk to somebody who you don't really have a relationship with? Like, was it that bad? They're like, I got to tell somebody because these guys down the street from me won't listen to me or won't take this seriously, or you're a buddy with a coach or the athletic program. That's like, how did that come about? That's what I'm interested in a little, because what they said on the Twitter space, which you've reporting, is quite concerning, but were they that eager to discuss this with somebody, get this message out there, or get what's really happening. Like, you know, it's a little bit different. Like, it's weird. Like, oh, I see a football reporter going after soccer or baseball. Not that I'm not questioning your stuff. I'm like, what? Why were they talking to whoever that wasn't somebody who covers them and knows them way more than they know you?
No, absolutely. I mean, that's a really legitimate question and an important one, because I've told multiple people who I've talked to about this. Like, I shouldn't have been the person to break this story.
That's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, you're kind of like not the guy who thinks you have this information or whatever.
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, this is, you know, again, I'm born and raised here and I have this proximity, and so I know it, but no, absolutely. I mean, I was, frankly, I was fully expecting something to come out before my piece did from a local media source or something to the effect. I expected the Twitter space to be a bigger deal. I mean, just by the nature of, for college athletes to openly be talking about a coach, especially ones who are currently on the team, is it's unprecedented. I mean, players don't do that. Like, the power dynamics at play here, you know, are not ones that lend themselves to that. And, I didn't necessarily ask guys specifically that question, but the sense I got from, I mean, I will say is, I think there were some who I could tell felt as if local media wasn't going to listen, and because of their connections or whatnot. And, you know, and for what it's worth, there, I think, was a level of, with some players, a level of jadedness, who, as they were talking to me, sort of saying, but I know this isn't going to change anything. I know Graham's buyout is too big for this university, and I know they don't care about us. And that was something for me where, it just upset me. Like, obviously, again, I'm not covering, I'm doing good journalism. I'm making sure, I'm not, obviously you're not sharing everything you hear. Making sure you're getting double sourced on, the most egregious accusations and whatnot, and you're, you're talking to guys. But it was one of those things where it really did feel like players felt like there was nowhere to go. Like, they felt like players who had challenged Coach Graham had been so chastised. And so, whether explicitly or implicitly kind of punished for that, they didn't feel like they could talk to coaching staff. I'm not sure if they'd gone to administration, but, I also think it's kind of, going to an athletic director when that's someone you don't necessarily deal with on a daily basis. I think that's a pretty big step to make. That's someone you're not dealing with. You don't know what the rapport is. And again, I'm not saying guys hadn't gone to the AD or whatnot. I'm not sure if that was something they'd looked into.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
I'm not sure if I know there was one player I talked to who had talked to another media member over the past week as well. who was working on something. I'm not sure if something's coming along the pipeline there. But yeah, I mean, it did seem like a lot of the players I talked to, this was the first time any media had reached out about this. And it seemed like, again, like, I think it's not just me. I think the Twitter space is what kind of opens the door to really illuminate where this program is at and where players are at with this program, right? Because obviously my report's not in a vacuum, you know, and I think there is the thing of sort of, where is this coming from with this person? Why are people willing to talk to this person, you know, and whatnot. But I think also, like, there are some players, like, who are willing to talk to the world, right? Who are willing to do it on an open Twitter space without the guarantee anyone would listen, but ended up having, you know, a few hundred people listening. Yeah. And again, to the credit of people hosting it, they mentioned that a few times. They mentioned local media who were in the conversation. And so, you know, I hope at least at that point players were aware of what was happening. And actually, at one point, after they'd sort of started letting fans on and whatnot, I requested into that. I was like, if they'll let me speak. And I just said, look, if you guys want to talk anonymously, I am available. Most of the people I interacted with, I'd either already connected with or connected with after that. But that's just, I guess, an important caveat to give to this conversation as well. But yeah.
So one of the things that really kind of sticks with me about the spaces and about the article is, it, you know, one of the things that seemed to maybe stick in the craw of most players from my point of view was the fact that there was such a culture shift from what Nick Rolovich and other past Hawaii head coaches had been able to, you know, establish as far as, you know, being a part of the Hawaii program and just being a part of Hawaii, I guess, in a sense. And so, you know, I sort of understand that on an intuitive level. You know, like, I'm a Fresno State alum myself, and, you know, we have our anyone, anytime, anywhere mantra. You know, Boise State has, you know, its hammer, and a lot of other programs have, like, you know, something that sort of just defines who they are. And so, you know, for maybe those people, you know, especially our listeners on the mainland who may not be as familiar with just what it means to be a part of, like, you know, a Hawaiian community, or maybe to be more specific, if you can, the Hawaiian football community. Like, when with all of the things that Graham has, you know, allegedly done wrong, did you get any sense as to what the most cardinal sin he committed was?
I would say, and I think there was a clear, I guess one thing I want to say, though, is that, you know, this is not something solely, and again, not even for my point, you can look at the transfer portal. This is not something solely coming from local players.
Yeah.
And this is not something, like, I do think there are definitely levels to that, right? Like, there are definitely, I think, players who feel like he's come in with, you know, essentially coming from the mainland and doing something that, you know, for, I think, obvious reasons, people from Hawaii are resentful of, if someone from outside comes in without asking questions, without sort of, and just says, my way's better. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, you can look at the history of, you know, why this island chain is the way it is and why people are going to be skeptical of that, and rightfully upset by that. But, you know, I honestly, I got the sense, because there wasn't any one event that guys came back to. It was like, each guy was giving me a different example of something that was wrong. And, or, you know, maybe not, you know, there was some crossover, but, you know, for the most part, like, people were pointing to, it was that across the board, players don't think, or the players I spoke with, just to make sure I have all the caveats in there, do not think he cares about them.
Okay.
And
that's what it seems like from what you said, like, reading through what Twitter, listen, Twitter space in your article, like, okay, let me invite, because we discussed this briefly, like, let me invite just the star players. You have, I get it, to have a personal relationship with 100 plus kids as a one person head coach, not super easy. You're going to contact or be in discussion more of the quarterback or starters, it, because you're dealing with them more because they're playing more, and I get all that. That makes sense. However, if you're inviting people over, like, wouldn't it make sense, like, instead of bringing over groups of people, okay, we're bringing the starters this week, we're bringing the backups this week, or we're bringing the more ideal position, receiver, tight end group, come hang out for the
Yeah, exactly.
Defensive line. Like,
yeah.
yeah, position group makes the most sense. You can maybe 1 week it's the starters, 1 week it's the defensive linemen. It's like groups of people, but you don't really leave people out. And there's the one thing in your article wrote where assistant coach got chewed out because they brought in a walk-on scout team guy. Like, what's he doing out there? He's never going to play. It's like, and he did find one plays in. It's like, does he not understand how to grow a team either? He's been a good, like, as for like the football coaching side, that seems idiotic because you want your backups to play at least a little bit to get some playing time to know who's going to be good. Because there's one point as well, like, well, the coach ever talked to me until I became like on the 2D percentage. It's like, you got to build a team in multiple ways where seeing players play well, getting to know your guys you coach, and I was hopefully recruiting them on some level. You know what I mean? Have like that final conversation, like, hey, yeah, join the team or preferred walk on or whatever. It's like, it, and what's where I'm looking through like all the reaction, like, you are, again, like this, where this is ended up published, it's not in Hawaii. There were local reporters on this basis. I haven't really seen too much like written about it, or it's been a paywall and I can't find it. It's like, how come there hasn't been as much stuff written there when it was wide open and there was guys who cover the team all the time?
Yeah. I before we get into it, I do want to get back to that last point. Because I do think there is a local media conversation to be had. And to be fair, I don't want to get into attacking specific people in Hawaii.
No, I know. I'm just wondering. You think, but it's a pretty big deal.
I think there's I think there's an added thing about local media in general nationally in the state of kind of, I mean, not that we know, I mean, have a society-wide media conversation, but I do think there's a level of how we're also seeing a part of the modern media landscape impact how this story is being covered. And to be fair, I did not pitch this story locally. I have a relationship with the editor at SF Gate. And so I reached out to him as I'd been doing preliminary stuff. And as soon as Shevin transferred, I reached out to that editor because I have a relationship with him. And I'm like, this guy transferred. I'm looking into it. I have no idea if I'm going to get anything. I have some murmurs, but, you know, hearing from people that they're unhappy versus them being willing to give you quotes you can use an article, for anyone who's a journalist knows that's a very different thing. And exactly. So I was like, I'm not sure if anything's going to change in this situation, but I just want to let you know I'm looking into it. So that was part of the reason it ends up in the place it does. And to be fair, SF Gate does have a Hawaii section. They've been growing. So that was part of
it. Oh, that makes sense. I'm just wondering, like, why isn't the Star Advertiser doing at least something on this?
Yeah.
Because all you hear is him, like, sorry, really quickly, like Todd Graham saying, we need to do what's better, do what's right. We know what's in our heart. Like, it seems like a half-assed, half-apology that he knows he did something, but we just need to do things the right way. It's like...
Absolutely. And that's where I want to build on, you know, sort of the last point about what the biggest issue is it's, I think, players not feeling like he cares about them. And because of that, feeling even stronger, he doesn't care about a program and the program and this feedback loop. Where...
Tone death quote here. Obviously, I can't meet with 125 people. It's like... Don't say that, even though if we know it's basically true, it's hard.
Again, but... and the thing too here is like, there are the thing that's, I think, super indicting to me too, right? Is like, I have quotes, right? And talking about the favoritism, and there was, you know, and I'm not the only person to talk about that. And the level of, you know, feeling like guys down the depth chart get ignored. And you have the starting quarterback, starting running back, and a starting cornerback who are entering the transfer portal. Like,
not good in that, right?
Like that. No. That's the thing too, is we're not only in a space where and again, if this was just treatment that people at the bottom of the depth chart were complaining about or had problems with, it would still be a problem we should talk about. It doesn't matter. Student athletes shouldn't be treated this way, regardless of their status. But I think it also shows the level of failure, at the very least, to build a quality culture, if not something more. I mean, I think about one of the quotes I reported. One of the things that was shared to me is he was saying before they knew they were going to have a bowl game that he wanted the seniors to stay and train for the draft combine in Manoa on campus. And then for some reason, he adds, it's not because we're nice people. It will help us recruit players in the future. Like, why are you saying that? And what are players supposed to take from that? Like, you know, the player said was like, look, I get coaches and players benefit from one another, but why are you like making it? Why are you trying to make it clear you don't care? I mean, one thing I mentioned in the article, and I'm not sure if I did, I guess I want to clarify because I think it was something I didn't get into parsing. Maybe I could have done a better job with, is there's this thing talked about he was viewing them as a stepping stone, and he talked about like wanting to go to the NFL. And, you know, I think there's been some people who read that, well, look, I mean, what are these players like? Yeah, he's at UH. If he wants to go to the NFL from UH, that's crazy. No one's making that jump. Like, you know, he's trying to build camaraderie around the idea that, you know, we can help each other achieve our dreams. And the thing is, I actually don't necessarily disagree with that sentiment. Like, I come from a place where, you know, college coaches should be more honest to their players. Like, they shouldn't be telling guys, I'm going to be here forever and then leave the next day for a higher paying job. Like, the issue, though, wasn't the candidness. It was that so many players were mentioning different instances he was talking about that, that it came to them as not something he was sharing as trying to build camaraderie. It came off to them. And again, I'm not sure what his intent was. I'm not getting into what he was trying to do, but players were interpreting that as another reaffirmation that you do not care about us or this program or the state or this community, and you just want to get in and get out as quickly as possible. And, you know, I guess sort of get to the local media part of this, you know, we've seen nationwide, right, as we sort of had the Wall Streetification of media, as we've seen these sort of big firms buy up, you know, a lot. I mean, and just the nature of the economy, a lot more mergers, right, fewer papers. You know, when I was born, there were two big papers here, right, the Honolulu Advertiser and the Star Bulletin, and they merged around the Great Recession. So there's only one paper, you know, and so what that means is Hawaii's in a place where it has, you know, a moderate sized market, you know, compared to, you know, like a place like Fresno, right, or other places. It has a, you know, decent sized market, but if you're a national outlet, are you going to pay to have a reporter in Hawaii? Probably not, because you have to pay to fly them all over the place if they're covering a football team or whatever. And so what it means is that a place like Hawaii gets kind of this double isolation where you have one local paper and there's a couple independent presses and pretty much the rest of it is local radio and local sports reporters. And that's when we get into the issues of access journalism. And I think people being in positions where they're worried about potentially losing access to people.
Do you mean like, hold on, I need to read this title to you I just saw.
Yeah,
it's total BS. And as we know, Northwestern labor movement attempted to get players to unionize, and we saw the Pac-12 stuff this past last year. Headline, which is, this could never happen. This won't work. It won't matter. Javon Cordero has power to change culture should he change his mind and decide to stay. That is a bunch of garbage. That is so bad. That is terrible. One college player who is the starting quarterback, I don't care. Unless, like, Trevor Lawrence was the only guy last year to get something going, he's like, I want to play. Like, there's no way he can. It's impossible. And that's very disrespectful and condescending to think that could be done.
You know, and again, I don't want to get into specific.
I know,
people.
But it's just an annoying point to make.
I do want to say
it's
something.
Not factual.
Yeah, and yeah, no, I agree. And the
I'll say this stuff. You can be like, not along. That's fine.
Well, I'm okay getting into it a bit. I just, you know, and you know, I'll say this: like, there were players who I spoke to today about that piece, and they weren't surprised. And I think that was something that was really dejecting for me, that, you know, there's this sense that there is no one looking out for them. That's their perspective. I don't necessarily think that's fully definitive. And I don't want to, again, get into some beef with people because
The point being, a college athlete has very little power. And
exactly.
That's like, and that's
and
the point I'm
getting Chevin
at.
Cordero was a captain this season. He was the starting quarterback this season. He was the starting quarterback before Todd Graham arrived. I mean, I know Cole McDonald was there, but everyone kind of knew Cordero was going to be the starter.
He played a lot too.
The implication in that story is that Chevin hasn't been trying to change the culture. The implication is that somehow Chevin has just been here nodding along, doing whatever, because he doesn't care. And now things are tough and he wants to leave. And no, again, that's the stuff that really upsets me when media and other people do that. Because like you said, these guys have – there is no more powerless professional athlete than the college athlete. And I use professional on purpose. I realize most people will call them amateur, but nonetheless – and the level to which, again, the way I'm seeing it covered, I mean, it's striking to me that it has gotten more national coverage than local coverage, my story.
That's why I was getting that earlier in my question.
And there were, and I'll say, you know, Chris Vanini of 247 Sports, who I, by the way, have no relationship with, I've never interacted with before. As soon as my story came out, put up a tweet that based that I could pull it up, but it was something along the lines of he'd been hearing this too, and Mark broke the story. And
he knows. Yeah, I've worked with Chris. He knows everybody.
Like, right. And so my point is, like, I wasn't the only one working on this. And nationally, there were reporters I've seen who covered Graham at Arizona State who basically, in no uncertain words, said, yeah, this is something. This is basically they said this is something that was going on behind the scenes here, too. And it is striking to me at the same time. Again, I might have missed it. I have not. What I can say is this. I have reached out to a few members of local media, just like I reached out to you, as you know, when you're a journalist, you're covering something, you have a big story, you reach out to people who might be interested to. I reached out to you. Obviously, I'm here now talking. I reached out to several members of local media. That's radio, TV, press. And I've gotten, and I said, you know, if you, I'm free to talk, answer questions. If you have clarifying questions about the investigation, whatever it is, you know, and none of them have gotten back to me or asked me a question.
So I'm going to Hawaii Radio like tomorrow. Should I bring this up and see if I can get some stuff out of them?
Hey, no, you're welcome. You're welcome to do whatever you wish. And
I know. Just...
but yeah, I mean, it has been something to me that's been. I mean, again, it's frankly just, you know, it's really strange and weird at its simplest to have, you know, Spencer Hall tweet about this.
Yeah.
And
people love them some Hawaii football, so it's not nostalgia, not nostalgia, but like late night stuff, and people gather around it, and like they pay attention because they've had teams. Timmy Chang, Cole McDonald, like in passing year this year, unfortunately, there's good teams. I don't know, Matt. What do you think? Like, this is getting everywhere.
So, you know, I was listening to the most recent Patreon version of the Split Zone Duo podcast. I don't know if either of you are patrons of that either.
I have not listened to it yet. I was going to, but tomorrow.
But in a nutshell, they all seem to be in agreement that Todd Graham had to go. And, you know, I recognize that it seems like, yeah, it's one thing for national media members to say something like that from a distance. And another thing to, you know, to recognize that, like, you know, what's actually going on in the program to say that, well, that may not happen. But then again, you know, we just had a similar kind of conversation about Steve Adazio at Colorado State. And then literally the next day he was gone. So we were kind of jesting about it that, you know, when his buyout dropped that, you know, maybe they would be able to, but it was sort of doubtful. And then they actually did do it. So they were able to turn the page on that front. And so I guess, you know, is it your stance that, you know, things are likely to stay the same as far as like the people involved in the situation? And then if that's the case, who bears more responsibility, or maybe who bears the most responsibility for trying to turn this thing around? Is it Graham himself? Is it the athletic director, David Matlin, who, you know, for all, you know, from all appearances seems to have done nothing in response to all of this? Or, you know, are there other things that the players feel they can do in order to maybe force the issue in the direction that they want it to go?
Well, you know, I think this gets at to what is often the conversation with athletics in general, particularly college athletics, you know, the issue of like what is fair and what will be effective.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I don't know where this goes. And I say that from a genuine place of, you know, I've never reported a story like this. I mean, I understand the nature of like, this is an explosive story just in terms of what players are talking about. And again, I do think there is something to be said for the dichotomy between how journalists would read a piece and hearing that I spoke to, like, these includes quotes from 8 different players versus a non-journalist who responds to that. Like, I think a journalist has a different idea of 8 players are talking to this guy versus
that's a ton. That's a crap load. Like, if you get 1 or 2, it's like, okay, but 8, right. Come on, there's a ton of stuff going on there.
And again, I reached out to several others who, you know, again, yeah, I won't get into that further, but so, you know, that's to me where I think there is that interesting divide in terms of how it might be interpreted. But, you know, because I've never been in the situation, I also am just not familiar with a story like this where I've been close enough locally or familiar enough locally to see the divide again, to see the, again, how it became, you know, a thing that college football Reddit tweets it out. And and to be fair, local radio was talking about it. I don't want to pretend like they've totally ignored it, but I did not see it mentioned in the local paper today. And
I saw the Todd Graham reaction. I see this POS in one college quarterback can make a difference when it's the AD's job who makes six figures.
Yeah, and it's interesting too because I have seen multiple local reporters tweet Todd Graham's quote Todd Graham's response to criticism without citing my article. And
it's more than criticism, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
Get some better words. You're a journalist, but use your thesaurus.
And I've heard some people talk about too the idea when my piece first dropped that, you know, they want to make sure to say both sides of the story. And Graham hadn't given his side of the story, which again, I reached out, Graham had a chance to respond in Twitter space, but whatever. But if you want to say both sides of the story, then when Graham quote unquote gives his statement, then where's the player's side of the story, guys?
Exactly. And where that's like that? That's Rick Garb. Also, you know what I hate the most too? It's like, I know you reach out to him. You're like, hey, I'm going to publish this at 4 p.m. Pacific, whatever time. Hey, this is going up online or the paper this day or whatever. Hey, you need to respond by this. And you see it all the time. Oh, we don't respond, You hit submit. It's out there. Well, we're outraged about this. There's this, this, and this. I'm like, well, then tell us beforehand. You know what I mean? There's that. But also, they mentioned Todd Graham's piece. Or Todd, not piece, but reaction. Like, hey, we got to do better. What I kind of quotes I kind of mentioned before. But there was it, like you said, there's not, hey, here's what players actually said. Here's what's going on. And here's Graham's reaction to what they said. And EC's reaction was, we just got to, guys, come on. We just got to do better. I can't, there's 100 plus guys. You know I can't have a sit-down dinner for 2 hours with these guys on the beach. Or I can't. Like, he's trying to pull freaking – whatever, trying to be like, oh, look at me, it's so tough, it's hard, blah, 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 sad face. I'm like, no, they need to mention more of what's going on, not just his reaction. Reaction to what? What is he reacting to? Criticism isn't worth it, isn't enough to know what's going on. Because if you had no clue, like, say nobody read your piece, and why? Because, well, this is San Francisco, it's not, I mean, it's not maybe what they normally read. Well, why? What's Todd Graham? What criticism is there? And you see nothing about what is actual criticism. All you hear is players are kind of unhappy. Well, it's like, well, players in college are unhappy for a million different reasons. Happens to be pretty severe, right?
So to clarify, Jeremy, where he actually gives his sort of response quotes, it is framed as quote complaints about leadership, which is about as vague as it can get.
It's bullshit. That's what that is. I need to keep my guys within the program to talk with. So I'm gonna be happy with the SID and say this way instead of. Like, I hate it when that's the case. And you're right, too. Like, I'm out of media outlets. Like, I grew up in Houston. They now have one newspaper. They had two there, and that's, like, the fifth largest city. That becomes a problem, and that's a bigger issue we don't get into too much. But when there's not you versus me or you versus whoever competing for something, you're going to try harder to get the better story, get a better info. Now it's like, well, we cover the football team with leadership issues. Here's an example. Like, I told on our podcast the other day. I'm at University of Utah right now. I was here at the tail end of Rick Majerus years, but I heard a million stories because I work in sports media, work radio and some websites. He, like, here in Utah, a bunch of people LDS faith, and Rick Majerus clearly is not, just because if you heard any stories about him. And they went to Final Four. They went to national title game. They had Andre Miller, Rick Majerus, all these great guys who were NBA greats. And he was, like, berate guys and, like, and it's like religious stuff that you shouldn't say toward people. Like, if you believe in this guy who started your church, you can believe in my freaking play here and do this. It's like, what's going on here? It's like stuff like that's ridiculous and should never be going on. And not that Todd Graham's on the same level, but his berating where it's not like, hey, you're doing like, dude, get it together, do this, this, or this. You're like, it's more personal attacks toward people, which is what Rick Majerus essentially did. There's two ways to do it. You could say, hey, dude, this is not right. Do it this way. And be pissy and mad and upset at them, but say, hey, here's what you need to do. Not just be mad at them and walk away, if that's what he did, but that's kind of what it sounds like. It's a personal attack and I'm done with you. Or if you're not good enough, I'm not going to teach you to get better, which, you know, coach, you kind of got to coach him up and that's your job to win football games and players who aren't playing well. Yes, you spend more time with player A, B, or C, but player C still needs a little bit of coaching to he'll be a player. Hopefully he's a player A one day. So, it's oh my goodness.
And again, if you haven't already read the piece over at SFGate,
read it, please.
Please go over and read it. But I'll just do this right now. I'm going to read a few quotes from players who spoke to me. And again, I think for obvious reasons, but in case you're unaware, they were kept anonymous because college athletes that, you know, they, I was not, I didn't have interest in trying to put a player in that position. And, you know, for the, for, I think, fairly obvious reasons,
scholarship pulled away, you get, look what already is going on there. It could get much worse. It's like, you don't need to put that burden on them.
So, you know, just a few quotes, right? Me and a lot of others can truthfully say Graham has killed our love and passion for football. Right? Like, and again, there was another player who basically says the same thing. Another player. I would go as far to say it's verbal abuse the way he talks to guys. It's personal. It's not like, oh, you need to be faster. He's calling guys, a list of things. And there was another player who reiterated a similar contact. And again, it's not just impacting players. Players talked about an assistant coach who apologized to their position group for not wanting to ask Graham a clarifying question and said, sorry, I'm just trying not to get yelled at.
That's ridiculous.
So, you know, again, you know, I think if you read the piece, I think it speaks for itself and what the situation is. But I really don't know where this goes, because the sad part is, I think there's a world where this sort of the university just waits it out, right? It's not going, you know, while it's gotten more national push than local push, national media is going to move on faster, right? Like, national guys have more things to talk about. And so it's going to be, you know, out of their purview in, you know, if it isn't already. And so the momentum has to come locally. And to be fair, I think there's a significant portion of the fan base that has been outraged by some of the events of the past week and feel that way. And so we'll see what that pressure ultimately does. But, you know, I do want to say, you know, this is an ongoing investigation. I'm still in contact with players. I'm still investigating. And I guess if you are listening and you have something to share, feel free to go to my Twitter, or there's other ways to contact me available there. You can read if there is something else out there that you want to share that isn't in the piece. But so I'm continuing to investigate and, you know, to try to get as much clarity and certainty about the situation as possible. But, you know, I think this could go in a world where, who knows, in a few days, David Matlin says we conduct an internal investigation and we are moving on, or it could go in the opposite direction too. I really have no idea where this goes, because, I mean, this is what makes college football such a dangerous place for athletes, is there is so much power in so few people. And obviously when you're a player, that can mean your coach, but when it's a program, that can mean the athletic director, president, and board, right? And so I don't know those people personally. I don't know how they feel. I don't know what their opinions are. And so much of it is going to be in how they react and how they handle this. And, you know, obviously as a member of media, I think it's requisite upon media to hold them accountable to continuing to trying to tell these stories. I hope that this is the first of many pieces we get to see from media who are, you know, talking about not just in Hawaii, but around the country about athlete mistreatment and whatnot.
Yeah, you're right, because, like, this type of coach isn't around anymore. Like, you're not having Tim Coughlin out there doing what he does, you know what I mean? You're not having these type of military-style coaches. It's not easy to coddle the guys, but there's a fine line between getting on their butts and get stuff right and doing things. I don't know. So, like, I know you're still going to it. We can kind of maybe wrap with it, like, wrap up here. Like, I don't know. I don't, off the top of my head, don't know his buyout, what it would be. Hawaii doesn't have money because they're obviously not in the stadium this year or next year, possibly, if Aloha being redone. They put only over 1,000 people in like 3 games. Also, the bowl game. Like, I think that, tell me if this description is incorrect. Discuss our podcast last time. Both of you weigh in here. It seems like a couple that want, they go to a bowl game because, oh, it'll fix everything. It's like a couple trying to have a kid to fix their marriage or something. Does that seem what this is?
You know, that's an interesting way to put it. I have the bowl game is just wild because it seemed pretty clear they needed 2 teams to turn down bowl games. And once LSU said they were going to play theirs, it seemed like there was no way. And then there's this miraculous bowl game out of nowhere in
the
Texas.
The Frisco Classic, right?
The Frisco Football Classic.
Which, again, I don't know the story on how it came to be, but nonetheless, it is, I think, at the very least, incredibly lucky if you wanted a bowl game for Hawaii. And it's wild. And again, by its appearance, just by it existing, Todd Graham gets an additional $20,000 bonus. Yeah. And if Hawaii wins, he will get an additional $40,000 bonus. As I said, I mentioned a quote in the article, like, that's not lost on players. And you know, again, we'll see where it goes. The situation with Graham is this. He signed a 5-year deal before last season. At this point, it pays him an $800,000 base salary through 2024, which is not super high for D1 standards, although for Hawaii is on the higher end of things. And if they were to fire him without cause, obviously, after this season, his buyout is $425,000 for every year remaining on his contract, which would be about $1.275 million this offseason.
Dude, Hawaii, just go play buy game first an SEC team and you're taken care of. Come on.
For what it's worth, Hawaii has never spent – the highest buyout they've ever spent is $600,000 on Greg McMackin way back in the day. Norm Chow, I think, got $375,000 in buyout. So that's where it would be a pretty unprecedented buyout for Hawaii to pay. At the same time, this might be a level of an unprecedented circumstance. We'll see how things play out from here. But yeah, that's sort of where the buyout things stand, and we'll see how it develops from here.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's tempting to say we'll wait and see what happens with the bowl game, but then you also remember that National Signing Day.
Yep.
The early signing day is even earlier than that. I think, you know, we're recording this on December 7th. It'll probably be out the next day. So, you know, the early signing day is like, what, 10 days away at this point?
Within 2 weeks. Yeah, close.
And if memory serves from your article, Hawaii only has 4 commits for 2022 right now.
Yeah, at least I've been going by 247 Sports, which is who I generally go with, and according to them, I'll check right now, actually.
Not many.
Which in itself isn't always necessarily a bad thing, because there is the secondary signing day where mm-hmm. a lot of programs, especially those in transition, tend to pick things up after the fact, I guess you would say.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing is Hawaii, I think, has 4 commits according to 247 as of this moment. Every other program in the conference has at least 8, so more than double. And 3 of Hawaii's 4 commits are locals. They're actually from St. Louis School, which remembers where Chevy Cordero is from. So,
and one's a JUCO as well.
Yes, like yeah, that's right. College. The one not from St. Louis is a JUCO. So, look, at the very least, like, even if this is going to be water under the bridge, and you know what? Let's say even if let's say Todd Graham were to address this head on and he does change, you know, how he approaches these players and he gets his locker room back. He has, I believe, right, somewhere from 9 to 11 dudes in the transfer portal. He has 3 guys who were starters this year, not counting seniors and others who are graduating, you know, players like Calvin Turner, who have been huge for that program, okay, who are obviously going on to next things. So that's a huge exodus of talent, and currently they have the smallest influx of talent coming. Now, again, as you said, he's probably going to have to rely quite heavily on the transfer portal because he's losing so many players with playing time, at least as, you know, I mean, it would seem like that's something where, you know, it seems like Hawaii's going to have a recruiting pitch to transfer as well. You're going to have a chance to get playing time quite quickly.
Mm-hmm. One starter.
Now, again, how receptive are players to that is a whole nother thing, because, you know, obviously I didn't get into it in my piece, but there has been some things where you're hearing people who did transfer under Graham who are disgruntled about, feel like promises that were made were not kept and other things. So, I don't know where this goes because, you know, like you said, there's early signing day. There's this bowl game, which is obviously happening amidst this. And, you know, one of the biggest local stars in college football in some time is looking to go elsewhere. And I don't, you know, we'll see where Chevin Cordero ends up, but, you know, Cordero's not someone who, as soon as he enters the portal, you're going, he's going to end up at USC. You know, I mean, like, he's not someone you're seeing is going to end up necessarily Power Five. He could, but
I bet he could. I'd say he's above average quarterback. Like, the Mountain West had plenty of good QBs, but I could see him like middle of the pack Power Five team, like Boston College or Illinois or something at that level, or he could be fine there. I think that's, but you're right. He's not going to be a starter at some major program.
Right. This is not like someone at Fresno State, right, trying to capitalize.
With that situation.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely a precarious situation, if only because, you know, we had already seen the trend to this point of teams that, you know, when they recognized they were in trouble in like the middle of the year, they were pulling the trigger. They were, you know, firing the head coach and getting their guy in. And, you know, with each passing day at this point, you know, I think the decision to buy out Graham or keep him on board for another year becomes a little murkier, I guess, mm-hmm. just because the timeline for, you know, finding a new guy in time in order to sort of keep whatever, you know, modest and maybe with only four recruits, that becomes sort of an immaterial point. Like, you know, they can sort of slow roll it, see how the players respond in the lead up to the bowl game, and then sort of maybe use that to decide. I mean, it's sort of like a different situation than what we just saw out of Colorado State, for instance, or, you know, other, you know, group of five programs in particular who've, you know, filled in their head coaching vacancies yeah. in recent days. It's, you know, they're coming into it at a much different juncture mm-hmm. and they might leave it at a much different juncture than everybody else as well.
And there's just the uniqueness of this is Hawaii, which yes. is the most, you know, probably arguably one of the most, you know, arguably the most unique program in Division I, right? In NCAA.
Yeah.
And this is someone in Todd Graham who, whatever you want to say about Graham, there's no ifs, ands, buts about it. He's not well connected in Hawaii. You know, it's not like he has this local pipeline.
He's a carpetbagger. Tell what it is. Every job he goes to, Rice, Tulsa, Pitt, Arizona State, he's a carpetbagger, goes to the best chance he can get at the moment.
Well, but also just like his ties are Texas, like, and there's been a lot yeah. more recruits from the South. And again, there's nothing, you know, wrong with it. You can obviously build a really great program out of players from there, but the current commits are mostly local. And so if you did have to make a change, it, you know, obviously you have to do so quickly. And obviously, you know, you can't fire, you know, hire some incompetent person or whatever, but I also think,
they did. I don't know.
Yeah. but also, you know, I don't, Hawaii is also in a position where I think they're weirdly in the space where, as long as you don't totally botch your hiring, you know, I've heard Timmy Chang, the offensive coordinator at Nevada, who obviously has a long history at the University of Hawaii, be floated. It's like, you know, someone like that, or, you know, like, I think you bring someone like Timmy Chang in and
instantly, you know, boom. Amazing.
Yeah, the energy in that program is right back. Like, there are clearly, I think, names out there, you know, for a place like Hawaii, because they're unique. Now, that limits them, right? And that's why, frankly, when Graham got hired, I think a lot of people were surprised that he was even willing to take the job.
It's weird. Yeah, I remember. It was odd.
Because, you know, of his background. But it also means you always have a weirdly unique subset of applicants, because this is a unique job that appeals to a particular subset of coaches.
I'm going to predict this. I'm going to end here. First off, well, I don't want – this is so weird to say, because it's so public, because I work with a guy who played in the NFL for 12 years, and we always ask him, what are these players-only meetings doing? He's like, usually a bunch of nothing. This one, being so public, is not a bunch of nothing, because it wasn't technically a players – it was, but it wasn't. But you get my drift. People listen to it. It's out there. There's probably some stuff held back, clearly, because people are just listening, like you said, or people didn't know. But like, that doesn't happen. I am wondering – if it's this big of an issue, are they not going to play in the bowl game? And I honestly think, like, they're playing Memphis, and Memphis is pretty good. You don't have your starting quarterback. You don't have DeAndre Hunter. You don't have starting cornerbacks. Who knows who guys who won't play because transfer portal. There's not enough guys. Like, I'm going to test the NFL, so I'm not playing. I could seriously see them getting blown out, and there forces Hawaii's hand to, like, you're done. This can't go on. There's too much turmoil, too much issues. I don't care what it costs. You need to go. If they get crushed in their bowl game, or if, just because enough players don't want to play, because I can honestly, from your reporting and what we've seen, there's enough reason to say, why support this guy? Why maybe give him an extra $40,000? Why play a game where he doesn't even know my name? It's like,
well, and that's the gets back to the thing. Sorry, I know we're probably going long here, but
I'm just saying, they have a chance to actually make change by saying we're not going to play.
Yeah,
I think that's a real possibility, because it's one freaking game, end of the year. They weren't expecting it. Because remember, one thing too, I don't know if it was your report or not, hey, text after all this stuff, text next morning, bowl game, that's it. Or bowl practice, tomorrow morning.
That was after the Twitter space, actually. That was Stephen Tsai of the Star Advertiser.
That's what it was, okay.
Jared, yeah. It was after the day after the Twitter space, they got a text that there was practice today. And I'm not sure if he reported this, but I can at least report he did not mention the Twitter space at the practice, and there was no mention of it, at least over text from Tsai's reporting as well. And you know, it gets back to the thing of fairness versus impact. Like, I would completely understand if players didn't want to do that, but you're absolutely right in that, you know, if a bunch of players said, I'm not going to play because of this dude, like, that forces the university's hand. And again, that puts them at extreme risk. That's, you know, I don't know whether that's advisable or not. I can't put myself in their shoes, but that's the frustration of, or I think for a lot of college football, a lot of college sports fans in general, is that players do have power. There's just a lot of things in place that make it really dangerous for them to try to exercise it. And
yeah,
so,
to stand up, it's hard to do that sometimes. Absolutely. And it takes sacrifice. And I would get it if they just want to play because going to school is expensive. I got a scholarship. I want to play, even if they know there's shady stuff going on or it's not the best situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Anything else that matter? We've gone. I love this. This is amazing. Anything else we'd ask, Matt? Or are we good to kind of wrap this bad boy up here?
I think we're about good to wrap it up and just kind of wait and see what happens from this point on.
All right, we will wrap it up here. So here's what we're going to do here. So we go read sfgate.com. Go check out since I butchered your Twitter handle, how about you just give it to everybody right now so I don't mess up again?
Sounds good. My name is Mark DeLucchi. You can follow me on Twitter at Mad DeLucchi. That's MadDeLucchi. Again, if you're interested in getting in contact with me, you can DM me there. There's also my email, and I have a Signal phone available as well to people there. So that's the best place to find what I'm doing.
All right, so go follow Mark on Twitter. Go get those followers up to thousands upon thousands. It's deservedly so. What's going on? So this story is not over. There's going to be the bowl games coming up Christmas Eve. So keep following Mark. We'll have stuff as well from whatever info we can get or local people there. We don't have people there, so it's hard for us to get info too. So I'm like, half this stuff's on the paywall, but come on, we need some info. Give me a depth chart. I don't know, but I'll make a bold prediction now. Todd Graham's not going to be the coach next year. I will predict that right now. You don't have to answer either of you to agree or disagree, but Matt, do you want to chime in? Yes or no? You can chime in. You have nothing to lose.
I tend to be pretty conservative in these kinds of things. Yeah, so I think they're going to give him another year to kind of wait and see what happens.
I'll say
13 is what they want.
I won't make a prediction, but I will say I hope wherever we go from here, it is one where if Graham is still the head coach, it comes with a pretty significant both public and private statement and change of behavior. And if he isn't the head coach, I at the very least, I think that there needs to be at least an internal investigation. Yes. I realize that's very minimal, but I hope where we go from here is one that the players deserve to be at the center of this. This is not something that is disgruntled players who are upset about playing time or because the defense is a scheme they don't like. This is something that's real and substantive and significant, and one that, again, I think this is not limited to Hawaii. We've seen kind of stuff come out about Colorado State and others.
Utah State, they quit their last game of the season. Look, you have a chance to make a change here. I don't know why Frank Miley didn't get the job at Utah State, but they have a chance to maybe it does nothing. But you're right, at least Todd Graham, at the very minimum, hey, don't just say it's a leadership issue. Say, hey, yeah, I've said some things that are probably – here's what you could say, like, it's a generational, like, hey, when I was coaching here, they're growing up, we acted this way, and I realized maybe that behavior needs to be adjusted. I need to recognize that can be changed, and I can like listen to them a bit more and see what they need, and we can kind of merge what we're looking to accomplish here. Yeah. Something more substantial than, oh, I can't meet with 125 guys. It's impossible. It's like,
yep,
you can listen to the guys, like, hey, my behavior, I realize it's different from different times, I'm a bit older. But these guys people go off and say crazy things. Like, just, he's like, I need to realize he needs to adjust his coaching style where he can be a hard ass on people, but not be personally attacking them.
Todd Graham is the highest paid state employee in Hawaii at $800,000 a year. And, you know, we can have all our conversation about whether, you know, I think college athletes deserve to be paid, but at the very least, yes, college athletes deserve to have a coach who cares about them and who they can tell cares about them and their well-being. And that is so minimal, and it is so clearly something, at the very least, a significant portion of this current Hawaii football team does not feel as present. And at the very least, I hope that can change going forward.
That's well said. And what should be the most basic, hey, respect, I want you to come here to play. Is, you know what, coaches, they need you more than you need – or no, what's the, sorry. The coach needs the players more, you know what I mean? The coaches have to have players to make money and do this. So it's like, you don't treat the players right, you're going to have a crappy team. Players transfer, obviously. The coach, the players need you. You need to be, you don't need to be like be respectful to him. Like you said, what you said was perfectly better than what I'm going to say and ramble at the moment. But can we just say be nice to people, and you can have your style be a certain way, but still understand you need to treat people a good way, a nice way, and you'll get that reciprocated back. They'll probably, you know what? They're going to try harder. You know what I mean? Like if you have a guy who cares about you, you want to win for the guy. And so I just hope it does get better. And so check out Mark's stuff over at sfgate.com. Follow him on Twitter. And we'll have more to get to this, but all of our stuff is at mwr.com. Subscribe to our podcast, all the fun stuff. You know what to do here. But Mark, if anything else crazy goes on, come back and join, because this was – okay, I was going to say so fun, but that's terribly the worst word to say.
It's maybe very cathartic. Maybe cathartic is the word.
Cathartic, interesting, and informative, and I enjoyed every second of it. So thanks a lot.
Hey, I'm glad for you guys having me on anytime. Feel free to reach out. Happy to come back.
Appreciate it.